From Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, we read the story of the birth of Jesus and some of the events that surrounded it. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20 is what I'm going to read. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinus was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his hometown to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Who likes cooking?
Me.
A few MasterChef viewers? Well, have we got a treat for you with our super Christmas chef, Chrissy Christmas.
Good morning and welcome to the Chrissy's Christmas Cooking Show. I'm your host, Chrissy. You know, people often ask me, "Chrissy, how do you make the perfect Christmas?" Well, this morning, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to show you just how simple and easy it can be. All the ingredients for the perfect Christmas should be fairly easy to find over the festive season. But before we begin, we need to preheat the oven to 180 degrees Celsius, or gas mark 4. Right, we're ready to start. The first ingredient for the perfect Christmas is, of course, Christmas music. How could we be without it? It's everywhere. In shopping centres, on the radio, on the television, and so many more places. But today, I've chosen my personal favourite, Christmas carols with Bing Crosby. In they go. Right, next we take a Christmas tree, then some gold stars, a small Santa, some tinsel, and of course, the bell, the bauble, and the bow. So when the bell, the bauble, and the bow go, and we mix these together, making sure you incorporate the branches. Right. Next, we take another Santa and we soak in sherry. And we beat for a short time. Then we take a reindeer and, for my favourite part, take a generous helping of mince pies and a big bag of presents, and we fold into a smooth paste, and we leave that for a short time. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have an enormous amount of Christmas shopping to do. including old Aunt Ethel, who we only ever see at Christmas time, so I feel it. Oh, hello, back to our Christmas concoction. Throw in a handful of crackers, some Christmas cards, more if you're popular like me. And then when that starts to gel, we add in that secret ingredient, the all-important family argument. Then we just combine all that, pop it into the oven, and we leave for 25 days. So, let's just run through those ingredients again, shall we? We've got Christmas carols with Bing Crosby. We've got the Christmas tree, the tree decorations, the tinsel, the bells, the bulbs, the bones, and the gold stars. We have two Father Christmases, the more the merrier, sherry, reindeer, lots of presents, Christmas crackers, Christmas cards, and that all-important family argument. Now, if you didn't get all that, folks, don't worry. There is a fact sheet available on the website, www.christmascookingshow.com.au. Right, now we can't wait 25 days, can we? So, here's one I've prepared earlier. Oh, whoopsie-daisies. Looks like I've forgotten to add the most important ingredient, the baby Jesus. Oh well, we'll just add some more sherry to this one, shall we? Well, once again, I'm your host, Chrissy. Thank you for watching Chrissy's Christmas Cooking Show. Merry Christmas.
Right. Whoops. Hang on a minute. Now, this will be on sale in the foyer afterwards if you'd like to make use of that one. How do you follow Chrissy Christmas? Well, Chrissy is a wonderful chef, isn't she, and a rather lovely personality. But you know what? I'm not quite convinced that she has the secret recipe to a really great Christmas. In fact, some other people that we've heard about this morning, I think, had an even better Christmas than what you would get if you followed Chrissy's recipe. And those guys that I'm talking about are the shepherds. These were some guys who were out in the fields watching their flocks at night when suddenly they experienced a wonderful Christmas. And as they got to the end of the story that we read this morning, as Chris read it to us, at the end of it, they were overflowing with praise to God and joy. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like it's just so wonderful that you're bursting and you want to thank somebody? And in this case, they thanked God and they praised Him. Well, I would like that to be your Christmas, where instead of the family arguments and maybe the overindulging in all sorts of things, maybe we could get to the end of this Christmas season and just feel so joyful, so happy that we just want to thank somebody. If your Christmas follows the instructions that we have in the Bible, then maybe that will be your experience this year. But before we get to that, I'm going to tell you about somebody else. And this guy's name is Sir Robert Mayer. And he was quite a wealthy businessman. He was an accomplished musician. He was a socialite in England. And he was one of the founders of the London Philharmonic Orchestra. Who's heard of that? You might even be listening to some of their Christmas carols over this Christmas season. Well, he was celebrating his 100th birthday. And so all of the wealthy and the connected people were coming together to celebrate this milestone. The orchestra was putting on a bit of a show and there was a bit of a shindig afterwards. And people were milling around and chatting to one another. And there was a lady there whose name was Lady Diana Cooper. And she was getting on in years. I guess when you're turning 100, a lot of your friends won't be that far off the mark either. So she was getting on in years and her eyesight was failing. And she found herself engaged in conversation with a very charming lady who she didn't recognise, but this lady seemed to know her. And because of her poor eyesight, Lady Diana didn't want to embarrass herself by saying, "Oh, who are you? I can't quite tell." So she just continued on the conversation. They had a lovely chat. Until eventually, Lady Diana realised that the person she was actually talking to was Queen Elizabeth. And she said, Oh, ma'am, not ma'am, by the way. Ma'am, I'm so sorry, I didn't recognise you without your crown. And so Queen Elizabeth replied, well, since this is so much Sir Robert's evening, I decided to leave the crown at home. And that story reminds me a little bit of what happened at Christmas, because at Christmas time, Jesus came into our world. Now, he is the one who made it. He's the one who rules the whole universe. He's the one who holds everything together. And when he arrived, you would think that his subjects would recognize him. You would think that he would come in such glory of who he is that it would be impossible to not realize who it was that was in front of you. But Jesus actually came very, very humbly. We've been going through a series in our church recently, and that's why the Christmas tree is up here. We've been looking at some of the meanings behind the decorations that we have on our Christmas tree. And we started off by looking at the tree itself. And we remembered that in centuries past, the tree was actually used to teach people about God. Why was it used to teach people about God? Well, the shape of the tree is like a triangle. And so Boniface, who was a person who was travelling into parts of Germany where they'd never heard about Jesus, he used the tree to explain that there's one God, just like there's one tree, but in God there are three persons, just like a triangle has three corners. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we remember that at Christmas time because it reminds us that God is love. God exists within himself in a perfect, loving relationship. The Father and the Son and the Spirit, they love each other perfectly, completely. There's no family arguments, there's no rivalry, there's no jealousy, there's no doing stuff to hurt each other. They love each other, so much so that they are perfectly and completely one. But God, who is love, wanted that love to overflow to others, and that's why he made people, so that people would be able to join in his relationship of love, that he would be able to share his goodness with still more. And so humanity was created. And that's where we get to our second decoration, the lights. See, the lights remind us that Jesus came as the light of the world to show us, to show people like you and I, how we can be in God's family. You see, people became estranged from God. That's what our next decoration talks about, those baubles. It reminds us of Adam and Eve, and you may be familiar with the story of how Adam and Eve were tricked into taking a fruit, the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And because of that, evil came into the world. And God, who is perfect, God, who is holy and doesn't have anything to do with things that are evil, he was not able to continue his relationship with Adam and Eve because evil was now a part of their lives. And so God separated himself and people began to forget even who God is. So Jesus came as the light of the world to show us who God is, to show us this perfect and loving God, and show us how we could be a part of his family. But becoming part of his family means that that problem of evil has to be dealt with. You see, if Jesus had come as the king that he truly is, what's one thing that kings are responsible to do? They're responsible for justice. I mean, if you have a government that doesn't look after justice, it's not going to be a very nice place to live, is it? And so the king, as the one who is responsible for justice, if Jesus came into our world as the one whom everybody is accountable to, then he would have to say, you know what? You've committed crimes against God. You've done things that are wrong. You've done things that maybe seemed good to you at the time, just like those baubles seem really nice, but actually they broke God's standards. You've hurt others. You've hurt yourself. And so there's a penalty that needs to be paid for that. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin, the penalty for sin, is death. So if Jesus were to come as a king, he would be responsible to carry out the law. And that law does not spell good news for you and I. And so we have our next decoration, which is the tinsel. The tinsel reminds us that Jesus chose not to come as king. He chose not to be the one who is responsible for meting out justice. He came instead to serve us. How did he do that? Well, instead of being born in a palace and in luxury, he was born in a stable. He was laying on a bed of straw, and that's what the gold tinsel reminds us of. Now, if you've been here during our series so far, you'll know that we've been getting the kids to come and put the decorations on the tree, but I thought the tinsel might be a little bit tricky, so I had an adult do that just before the service. But you will get to put up the next decoration, kids, so stay tuned for that. But the tinsel reminds us that Jesus came humbly to serve us. How did he come to serve us? Well, in Matthew 1:21, we read that he was given the name Jesus, which means God saves, because he would save his people from their sins. Jesus would fix the problem that the baubles remind us of, the problem that we all go our own way, that we all break God's laws, that we all do things that seem good to us, that we want, but actually hurt ourselves and hurt others. Jesus came to deal with that issue for us. Well, how did he do it? Well, he went to the cross. He paid the penalty for our sins. He allowed the price for our crimes to be on him so that we could be forgiven. So that when he does return as king and when he does judge, as kings need to do, he's able to look at those who have accepted forgiveness and say, yes, these crimes were committed, but the penalty has been paid. And now it's just as if you'd never sinned against God at all. You can be in his family. You can enjoy all the good things that he longs to give you because he no longer needs to deal with your sin. It's already been dealt with because Jesus died on the cross for me and for you. Well, that brings us to our last decoration. And we have down here some candy canes. Can anyone tell me what letter I'm holding up? It's the letter J. Do I need to... No, it's the right way. Okay, it's the letter J. The J for Josiah and the J for John and the J for Jesus. And it's also, as well as being a letter J, which reminds us of Jesus, it's also really yummy. In fact, I won't give you a little demonstration because this one's actually plastic and I'd have to really fake my smile. But we have some treats in the bags here, which the kids are going to get later, which are genuine yummy treats. You know, in centuries past, they used to hang treats on the tree. Just like that. And the treats would remind them that because Jesus died on the cross for us, he's made it possible for us to be in God's family and to live with God forever and ever without sin, without evil being a part of the world. Jesus has dealt with that and it's going to be completely done away with. And so we will be able to receive from God only good things in heaven. And we look forward to that very, very much. The Bible says that all those who have been forgiven of their sins, when we die, we don't stop existing. And what actually happens is we actually go to be with God and live forever with him. And one day, he's going to return and make everything new. And for all those who have accepted forgiveness because of what Jesus did for us, we will be able to share in his wonderful family forever and ever. And so we hang treats on the tree. And in different countries, they use different treats. Sometimes they use breadsticks molded into shapes. Often they hang fruits and berries and nuts and lollies and all sorts of things like that. Here in Australia, I think the candy cane is probably the most common treat that we hang on the tree. And the reason that we hang them is to remind us that there are good things in store for those who accept forgiveness in Jesus. Well, do we have some children who would like to come and try hanging a candy cane on our Christmas tree? If you are a primary school child, Joel, come on down, Michelle, Tim, you can have this one. If you're a primary school and would like to come and hang a J... Now, it is a limited edition thing, so I think we've got just the right amount. Now, if you pull the tree over, Tim, you're in a lot of trouble. Okay. Well done, guys. Now, that tree is starting to really look festive, isn't it? Okay. Well, as the kids are finishing that, where are they coming from? We're actually going to... turn our focus back to the shepherds outside Bethlehem. Well done, guys. Okay, well, I think that's it for the candy canes. You can go grab a seat, but if you didn't get to hang a candy cane up, don't worry. We've got a bag of treats for you a little bit later on, which you'll get as you leave. Good job. Thanks so much for your help, guys. Well done. I've got a bag of treats for you later. Here you go. Would you like to hang this one up just there? You hang him just there. Awesome. Okay. Now, can I have my stage back? See you later. All right. So, that's a really quick summary of the Christmas tree and the decorations we use. The tree which reminds us of God who is love. The lights which remind us that Jesus came as the light of the world so that we would know who God is and know how to be in his family. The baubles that remind us that there is something that needs to be fixed up first. We can't just waltz into a relationship with God. There's a serious problem of sin in our lives that needs to be dealt with first. The tinsel reminds us that Jesus came to deal with that problem of sin. He came to save us from it so that we can enjoy what the treats talk about, eternal life in heaven with God. That's the wonderful message of Christmas. Now, how do you have a great Christmas? How can this year's Christmas be really, really wonderful? Well, we're going to learn a little bit from those shepherds, and they did three things. three things that really made their Christmas special. All right, this is the first thing they did. They camped out in a field with sheep at night time and... they heard the message about Jesus. Phew, that's a relief, because you thought I was going to say, okay, for a great Christmas, you need to get your tent, go out to the nearest paddock with sheep in it, and that might work for you, but that's not the most important thing they did. The most important thing they did was that they heard the message about Jesus. Now, for these guys, you could hardly miss it. There was an angel who came and spoke to them, and then this whole choir of angels, and angels are messengers from God, and they would have appeared, I think, quite gloriously in the skies, and it would have been hard to just ignore that and go back to the bleating of sheep. I mean, it was right in your face, wasn't it? Well, you know what? God still speaks to people today. He doesn't always use angels in the sky. Occasionally he uses spectacular things like that. But you know, the Bible tells us that the main method that God has chosen to make sure that other people hear about Jesus is actually for people who already know him to tell those who don't. It's pretty simple. And so each of us have a choice, and I'm glad that you've chosen this Christmas to come and remember Jesus and to celebrate his birth. You're choosing to hear the message about Jesus. That's an important part of having a great Christmas. Now, it's possible, I've heard that this is possible anyway, I can't say that I've ever done it myself, that even if you're sitting in a group, you could be not really listening to the message that's coming out. Like, you could be thinking about, oh no, I've got this in the oven, I've got these people coming over. And so, I guess you could be like those shepherds who, yes, angels are in the sky, but, man, did you hear about what was on Neighbours last week? Sometimes we actually have to choose to tune our attention in, don't we, to what God is bothering to tell us. Now, the idea of ignoring those angels is ludicrous, but it's also ludicrous to ignore God as he speaks through people, through the Bible, through the many other ways that God chooses to say, hey, remember Jesus, because it's in hearing about Jesus that we have a great Christmas. But hearing alone is not enough. We actually need to receive it. In other words, we need to believe what we hear and allow it to shape what we do. Now, those shepherds, they heard the message, and what did they do? They went back to the sheep? No, they took off to Bethlehem, didn't they? They went to look for the Christ child. They did something about what they heard. And for us, that's also an important part of Christmas as well. We can come and hear about Jesus and then go on and live exactly the way we would as if we'd never heard about him. But rather, if we want to have a great Christmas, Jesus needs to stay with us. He needs to affect how we're thinking, what we're saying, what we're doing as a result of hearing the message. So the shepherds are a great example of people who went and did something about what they heard. It would be a tragedy if they heard it, then forgot it, or heard it, then ignored it. And the same is true for us. So if you want a great Christmas, receive the message. Don't let it just wash over you, but take it to heart and allow it to shape what you do and how you respond. And the last one is really simple. The shepherds, after they saw Jesus, they went to the stable and they would have talked to Joseph and Mary and they, well, what's his name, Jesus? What does that mean? It means he's going to save his people from his sins. Wow. And so they would have tuned into the message of Jesus. And then what did they do? They didn't just go back to their fields. They actually went and told people. They went and spread the news. How much would you have loved that? I don't know what time it was. Let's say 3 a.m. for picking a number out. It was night time. Most people were probably in bed asleep. In those days, they didn't have TV going to all hours of the night. It got dark, you finished up your work and you went to bed. And so they would have gone around and they would have had to have woken people up. That's pretty daunting, isn't it? You can imagine they might have said, oh, should we wait till morning? No, they were so excited that the Saviour had come, they went telling people all about it. And they might have got a few not very impressed responses. I don't care. I said, do you know what time it is? I don't have a watch, but if I did, you'd be in a lot of trouble. Yeah. There was none of the fear as to what the reaction might be. They were just so excited. They went around and they shared the message. Now, if you've heard the message about Jesus and if it's made a difference to you, if you've received it, you believe it, you know that we can have eternal life because Jesus has come. You know that your sins have been dealt with. You know what's natural to do next? Share it. Share that good news. Now, sometimes people might go, yeah, whatever. You know what time? I'm busy doing other stuff. Don't bother me. Come back when I'm, you know, feeling more needy or something. No, we actually just go and share because there's an overflowing enthusiasm because the Christmas story is so great. Now, if we want to have a great Christmas like those shepherds did, we need to do those three things. They heard the message about Jesus. They received it. They let it change them. They let it shape what they did next. And after they'd encountered Jesus, they went and shared him with others. And after doing those three things, they went back to their flocks and they were full, chock-a-block full of joy. My prayer for you is that you will also be chock-a-block full of joy this Christmas time. And it won't depend on how well cooked the Christmas lunch is or the Christmas tea or how well the rallies behave themselves, how much sherry was in Chrissy Christmas's whatever. It'll actually depend on the fact that Jesus has come and we remember him and remember that eternal life is possible and we have received it because of Jesus Christ. That's how to have a really wonderful Christmas. One of the ways that we remember this message every week in this church, and you may come from other backgrounds where this might happen every so often. In this particular church, we do it every week because we really love to celebrate the fact that Jesus has dealt with our sins. And we call that communion. There's other names for it as well. It's sometimes called the Lord's Supper or Eucharist, or there's a whole range of different names people give it. But it's really actually something quite simple. We take a piece of bread, and that reminds us that Jesus, who came humbly to this world for the purpose of dealing with our sins, allowed his body to be nailed to a cross. He did that so that in dying for our sakes, he could take the penalty for our sins. Not only was his body nailed to that cruel cross, but his blood was poured out in the giving of his life so that the penalty for our sins could be dealt with and we would be free to receive eternal life from him. So we take these things just as Jesus asked his first followers to do, and as we take the bread, we remember his body. As we drink the juice, we remember his blood poured out for us. And as we do so, we don't focus so much on the reality of the horribleness of what that death was about, although we do reflect on just how terrible it was that the Son of God died this way for us. But more we reflect on the fact that in doing so, he purchased our eternal life. He demonstrated the depth of his love for us. And that when he returns, we will be free to receive good things from him, not judgment. Jesus said that he was sent into this world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. That's what Christmas is all about. I'm going to invite our helpers to come forward, and I'm going to pray, and then we'll pass out the pieces of bread. And if you have received the truth of Jesus, if you know that he died for your sins, and if you have accepted that, we'd invite you to take a piece of bread and remember what he has done you. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the fun of Christmas. It's a great time of year. We thank you for the joy that exists in our homes as we just celebrate love, as we celebrate your love for us, which has been shown in Jesus, and as we celebrate our love for one another. We thank you that we can only really know what love is because you've shown us. You've shown us in the giving of yourself. As we remember the depth of your love for us, that Jesus came into this world humbly, in order that he may deal with our sin, that he may save us, that he would go to the cross, that he would allow his life to be given in order to pay the penalty for our sins. Lord, we thank you that your love was so great you did it for us. We thank you that we can now have eternal life because of Jesus. Lord, fill our hearts with a fresh sense of wonder and gratitude, I pray. Amen. Thanks, help us.
Powerful. indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees.
We're going to pass out the cups of grape juice now, and this, as I said earlier, reminds us of the blood that Jesus shed for you and I, giving his life for our salvation. And we would invite you to hold on to that, and we'll all drink it together as one group. And that reminds us that God has done this so that we together would be able to form one family together with him. As we drink, we remember Jesus. Okay, if you'd like to pass your glasses to either end of the aisles, and we'll collect up your cups. Thank you. Just as they're doing that, does anybody remember? We'll have a bit of a quiz. Does anyone remember what the first words the angel said to the shepherds were? I heard a yes over here. What were they? Do not pick your nose. No. Do not fear. Yes. Okay. Do not fear. It was a pretty daunting thing to be seeing those angels, wasn't it? And to be hearing the message of God. Do you know, fear can hold us back from a lot of things. Fear holds us back from taking the time to hear God. Fear can hold us back from receiving the message that he wants to say. And fear can hold us back from sharing that with others. I'm so glad that the shepherds heard that message, don't fear, that they didn't faint away, that they didn't run away, that they actually took the time to hear, to receive, and respond. My prayer for you is that you will allow God the time to speak to you, that you will allow God to speak to your heart, that you will receive that and that you will share that this Christmas time. Very soon we're going to take up an offering. And that's just something we do as part of our regular worship in this church, so that people may honour God with their finances and so that we can together share in the work that God's called us to do. Please don't feel in any way compelled to take part, but if you've come ready to worship God in this way, we'd invite you to do so. Thanks, helpers. That song speaks about the story we've just been talking about. It's a beautiful song, and as a congregation, we're going to be learning that song and singing it together, I'm sure, many times. But as the last verse talked about, Jesus will return, and when he returns, he won't be coming as the babe laid in the manger on a bed of straw. He will be returning as the king, and he'll be returning to give the goodness of eternal life to all those who have accepted new life in him. But as that song spoke about, there's also a sobering reality that when he comes as king, his responsibility to judge will also be enacted. And so the choice is ours as to how we want to receive him as king. Will we want to receive the good things that he longs to give us? Or will we stand on our own two feet and accept what we deserve from his hand? May this Christmas you know the joy of knowing for sure in your heart that what you receive from Christ will be eternal life and eternal happiness. That's the ultimate joy of Christmas. On your seats, or on the seat next to you as you came in, on every second seat, there's some response forms. And we'd invite you, if you would like to take the time to fill those out during our last song, please feel free to do that. And we use those for a number of purposes. If you would like to ask a question or to have an appointment to talk to one of our pastoral staff, then you can do that. Just put a contact address or phone number or email and we will get back to you and follow you up with that. If you would like to give us some feedback or make a comment, you can do that as well. Or if you'd like us to be praying for something that's going on in your life at the moment, we love to be able to do that every week. So you can write your prayer request down and you can be sure that some of the leaders of this church will get together this week and pray for you about that. So if you'd like to take a few moments to fill those out, and we'll put a box out in the foyer as you're going, you can put those into there, and that'll be a way that we can follow up with you. I'm going to ask the choir to lead us in our last celebration song. Actually, it's not the last, you're right. We've got two to go.
We're not going to miss that one.
Look at the program, Mike. The First Noel. And we're going to stay seated for the first two verses of this. If you want to be writing down, you can be doing that. And then we're going to stand together and sing it. Please stand. Upon them. last song is not so much a Christmas carol. It's only been fairly recently written, but it's a song which celebrates the greatness of our God. And my hope for you this Christmas is that as you remember the Christmas story that last song just spoke about, that your heart will also be overflowing with praise to our great God. May the greatness of our God be your joy this Christmas time. Don't forget, if you've written on one of those response forms, there's a box in the foyer for you to put that in. And if you are a child, whatever the definition may be, on your way out, you will be able to get one of these treat bags. I might need to go make some more by that reaction. I'll leave it to the parents to decide. All right. God bless you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.